Good morning, and welcome to another episode of The Bobcast. With you, as always, is Robert Patrick James Cahoe, live in the Natural Lounge, staring into the future. And the Ouija board, too, I guess, you know what I mean? But I really can't tell the future anymore. I mean, I wanted to show my son a different side of screens, you know? I wanted to show him, like, a different way of thinking, so I got my old VHS / DVD combo unit out with my Batman television, put it together in his room, showed him like how to put in a cassette tape, you know, how to navigate, you know, through that. Cause it's, you know, he's had like PlayStation games, which come on discs, but he's never had anything quite like that where, you know, like you could hear the tape being like worked through inside the machine, you know, like when you press play, it sounds like a jet engine going off or something like that. You know, how y'all doing? Happy Easter to you. Or I can't really say happy Good Friday, but Good Friday to you. Have a good day. Yeah, today's Good Friday. And I'm up here at my bench doing my thing, podcasting. I'm in this play called Reflections with Jesus that takes place tonight at Storehouse Church. I play three different characters. I have three different costumes. I have three different people living in my head. And I'm so excited. In a way that I've never, you know, I'm 44 years old and I've never acted in front of people, but I've done over, what, thousands of shows, maybe? I don't know how many shows, but I've been a musician my whole life. I'm not scared to be in front of people, you know? I'm not scared to talk in front of people either, you know? Just, you get used to it. In the beginning, God, I was so scared. I mean, this video of me on my Instagram when I'm playing in my wife's backyard, year 2001, maybe 2000. My bass is so high up because I was scared of messing up. Like, you want to have it higher up so you have more control of the bass, I feel. I don't know. When you're a novice player or even a beginner, you know what I'm saying. Like, you want it to be close. You can't just start off with, like, your bass by your knees. But, you know, it took a long time to develop that type of strength to be able to get in front of people and not, like, you know, bug out. And, like, I've done some best man speeches. I've memorized some speeches, you know. And in that process of, you know, memorizing the speeches in the shower and, you know, being a screenplay writer, I always thought, like, yeah, I might want to act, you know. And now I have, and tonight's the big show. I'm excited, and I'm also kind of sad that, like, I'm be leaving these characters behind. I know what it really feels like. Just got a little taste, and I'm, like, kind of hooked, and I'm excited, though, because it's, like, who does this at age 44? I'm gonna try to get more gigs, you know? I'm going to try to see what can happen. My brother's going to help me out. We were just talking. We're going to start, like, an LLC. And when I was in the band Downtown Harvest, I got so tired of booking agents, so I created my own. His name was Lucius Holiday, and I would call up from Lucius Holiday LLC Enterprises and just be like, yeah, I'm booking this band. They're the hottest band in the world. And, you know, I wouldn't take any percentage. I would still keep my fair share. We all, Downtown Harvest, split everything four ways. You know what I mean? So it was like, you know, and then we got managers and it all got kind of crazy and we had to, like, pay them too. But, you know what I mean? Like, we were fair. And, you know, there was something in the essence of creating that character, Lucius Holiday, and then just taking matters into my own hands, booking the shows, talking about myself, you know, it was easy. And we got lots of good gigs from that, man. Lots of great success, you know, good paydays. And later in life, when my brother and I won the 2011 Philadelphia Screenplay Competition Contest, I don't even know what it was called, dude, to be honest with you. You know, we went out to LA, had some meetings. Through all those meetings and a couple of, like, you know, acquaintances, we met somebody who became our agent. His name's Frank Shapiro. Frank Shapiro Talent Agency, LLC, out there. Frank is he's from old Hollywood. And he's always loved my writing, and he's gone to bat for me so many different times. And, you know, I also really miss being Lucius Holiday. I miss the cold call. I love cold calling. You know, I like podcasting, so it's like, I would, you know, you can imagine me with a cold call. It's like the challenge, you know what I mean, to get something. At one period in my life when I was also too, like, around 31, I was, you know, in Hollywood, LA, and I was working for a company called Box Office Entertainment, run by my good friend Landale Gooseby, excuse me, Landell Goolsbee. He's an actor himself. He's appeared on television shows like Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's been in some feature presentations as well, and he allowed me to become an agent. Like, he allowed me to become essentially, what was the character's name on Entourage? Ari Gold. Confucius say, Ari Gold. You know what I'm talking about if you're a fan of the show. But truthfully, like, I always thought, like, man, I would love to just be on the opposite side of this. Like, when I read, excuse me, when I wrote, like, a really good monologue, and for those who don't know what that is, it's a, really long speech in a film where someone's, like, talking for, like, considerable amount of time. Could be good, could be bad. The monologues are very hard to do, folks, because you don't want to come off looking like, fake. And also, too, a lot of times, like, it's exposition. Exposition is, like, when you're telling plot points through talking. It's a big no-no in the film industry. And if you watch, like, some of the great films like No Country for Old Men, sometimes there's no dialogue. And hardcore cinema files will say that, dialogue is secondary to the image. So in other words, like, they would rather have nobody talking. When you talk, it's like an excuse to not capture, the frame. I forget who said that, the Coen brothers maybe. So yeah, I was just like, man, I want to do this. I want to act. I one time I did a script read with somebody and I thought it was cool, but I was like drinking and I didn't take it seriously. But these characters, especially I play one of the disciples of Jesus Christ in modern times, and we're working like in this like bike shop, and we have this bike that nobody can fix, and it's like our best customer, and we need to get this thing situated. You know what I mean? And like. Well, I don't want to spoil it, but I got into it because, like, I could feel that the character can't pay. He's running out of money, and like it's a couple days before Good Friday, and Friday's when his mortgage is due, and like he doesn't think he can pay it. His wife's at home with the kids. She can't get a job because they can't afford daycare. I can relate to this. You know what I mean? Like, I was not with money a while ago, and I drove by Plymouth White Marsh High School, and I straight up asked the Lord. Hey God, it would be pretty sweet if I could just somehow wind up back there. I don't even know if I said teaching because now I'm in this like administrative role where I do interact with kids, but it's more of like a I'm their boss and they're my like, employees. But I also get to mentor, which I really enjoy. I'm mentoring this kid right now in fourth grade, and this kid I play Uno with him, and he is the best Uno player on the planet, So I'm very fortunate, God, that you allowed me to do that. You allowed me back into that job, into that zone. And to be honest with you, sometimes I talk a lot shit on here, occupational prison and stuff like that. And I think it's just my spirit. Sometimes, I'm a bird that can't be caged, is what my friend Ben said once. And yeah, I do feel that 100%. Like it used to be, I was totally different so many years ago, man. Like, I just was different, man. I was lazy. I was real, really lazy. I wasn't into like hiking or going to the gym or working out or any of that, really. Matter of fact, I wake up most mornings, have a cup of coffee. If I was a cigarette smoker, then I would smoke a cigarette in the morning to get that buzz. Later, I was a vapor for a couple, like I think I vaped for like 2, 3 years. God, I'm so thankful I got out of that scene, dude. God, thank you. That whole addiction cycle too of being like, oh, gotta wake up, gotta do this, gotta do, it's just the whole time is just really just hurting myself. You know what I mean? Like, and the wild thing is that, 5 years now, no cigarette, no cigar. I tripped up a while ago. I think I told you all with that Zyn. I wish I didn't do that. What's the point of buying something that's gonna make you feel like you're having a heart attack? I don't know. I really don't, but. I think one of the things that I mean, in every situation where I've gone through something really hard, I've always asked God for help my whole life. The idea that, you can too, like, say for instance, you're not somebody who believes in God, and like really, today it really hit home because today's Good Friday, right? And I was seeing a lot of stuff. My algorithms changed on my Instagram, My algorithm a while ago, man, was like people getting attacked by dogs and like all this other violence and stuff, and somehow or another, I changed it all around. And I see lots of biblical stuff. I see lots of quotes I think are very powerful. There's one the other day, I can't remember the person who wrote it. I'm not even sure if the author was written on there, but it said, remember, God pulled you out of the pit so you can go back in and help others get out. And it just hit me, man. You know, it hit me hard. God, right? Just omnipresence in your life the whole time. The thing that's wild is, like, even as you t I talk about this right now, I can feel like my vibration just simmering, just because it's like I am praising God right now, and I'm praising it in long form. This podcast will last on the internet as long as the internet lasts. But yeah, I mean, you know, there's so much bad stuff in the world. There's so much stuff you see, you hear. All your senses are controlled by media corporations who pound you with useless and sometimes, you know, meaningful information, but yet at the same time, all directed towards making a dollar. God has no prerogative. God has no pr like God loves you. That's it, you know? And dude, that's just the best, you know? In my opinion, having somebody in your life who loves you unconditionally. For those who have a dog, you know what I'm talking about. You know, and like that bond that you develop with a dog. I'm not comparing God to a dog, by the way, listeners, but I'm just simply stating that I love my dog. You know, I this dog Russell I got, like, he's very much like me in personality, you know. And I know we got him when he was 6 months old, so something must have happened in the beginning. Like, for those 6 months, he must have been around something that really just scared him, you know. He was very scared. And the other day, like, I was shutting the gate. We separate rooms in case the dogs are muddy sometimes. And I shut the gate a little bit too hard, and, like, oh my God, he got so scared, and it just broke my heart, you know? But that unconditional love, right? I mean, obviously you have it with children, right? Not everybody has kids. So I'm trying to, like, you know, explain, like, if God's not in your life, like, you're missing out, man. And, like, the tough thing is, for people who do believe in God, it's tough for us not to, like, talk about it. You know, I mean, like, I used to be somebody who wasn't like this at all, you know? And sometimes I'm surprised, you know, because I was full of just so much darkness for so long, and I didn't want to accept the fact that God made a sacrifice because things were going pretty bad, you know what I mean? Here on earth, people were just running shit their own way and not listening to, you know, they think that, you know, they knew what was right. They knew what sacrifice was right. They knew which cow to sacrifice. They knew what, you know, kid, virgin, or whatever, you know, whatever weird stuff they were doing. God was like, dude, I'm done with this. Send the messenger, send my son, you know? And then there was the sacrifice, right? And you never really, like, when you're a kid, it's so hard to, like, comprehend, like, the whole, like, hey, how are you? How are you
Sorry, I'm
doing? You
just
good,
trying to,
dog?
like,
It's all right. Don't worry about
oh,
it.
God.
Have a good day. There's a dog right there, just full of love. They didn't want to move, wanted to greet me. But the whole thing with God, like, sacrifice, like, dude, sacrificing your son, if you're a dad, even your mom, whatever, just think about that for a second. Just stop and think about sending your kid, you know, to the high priest, then to, you know, Pilate, then to the cross, then to death, then to rebirth, then to ascension. Like, it's pretty wild, you know. And, like, here's the thing. I'm doing this play, right? And, like, while we're doing the blocking last night, which is, like, where we're standing, what we're doing, what we're saying exactly, there's a moment where I'm, like, watching my friend Peter, who plays Jesus, and all week I've been texting him as in character, as if he is Jesus. I texted him today, I'm sorry that I ran from the garden last night, just jumped on my bike and kept riding. Please forgive me, Lord. You know what I mean? Like, I've just been getting into character. I guess it is method or whatever, but there's something about the way Peter delivers his lines, and there's something the way about Peter, you know? I'd love to get him on the podcast so you guys can see what I'm talking about, but he's just nice, you know? And that's the type of Jesus that I would like, you know? It doesn't really matter if he looks like Jesus, if he has the beard, if he has the, you know, the hair. It don't matter, dude. To me, the essence of somebody who is kind, the essence of somebody who listens, and there is something truly, truly to be said, Chris Wood, about someone who is vested in you and also ready to hear you out on everything. And also to be there with open arms to forgive you no matter what, even if you screw up. Kind of like the dog, to be honest with you. I mean, after a certain point, but you can't let the dog, you know, down too many times. Dog remembers stuff, right? I just, sometimes I struggle with it myself, to be honest with you. But it's a struggle that I've been going through for my whole life, you know? Believer, non-believer, believer, non-believer. I know I get tested all the time. I got baptized, you know? I got baptized literally seconds after, like, the ceremony ends. Somebody grabs me. She says to me, they're going to come for you now, Bob. And, like, the way she held my arm, the way that she said it, it sent, like, lightning through me, you know? Like, it just felt supernatural. And then I returned home, and my next-door neighbor's son is over there. And, you know, he immediately started talking shit. So now, what are you, born again now, brah? And those words got me, dude. They got me in a twist, in a bind, in a, I don't even know, dude. Like, it was like, I don't know the adjectives to describe that type of thing. It was like, not shame, not shock, just a mixture of a lot of different things going on all at once. How's it going? How are you? Hello? Hello? So, yeah, they came for me, and it was like literally seconds after myself returning into my own home. And some of my friends don't come for me, but they roll their eyes, you know? So I also know what it feels like when people didn't believe Jesus, you know? They were like, nah, you ain't the son of man, dude. Look at the way you're dressed, you know? Look who your father was. Look who your mother was. Judgment, right? I've been coming down on myself to make myself into a better person, you know? And, like, that's just how it goes, you know? And one of the things that someone brought to my attention once was that I can be judgy, or I can have lots of judgment, you know? And I really start to unpack that. And I have a therapist that lives in my brain. Sometimes I call her. I'm like, hey, you available? She's like, sure, come on in. I get in there, and then I start to unpack it, you know what I mean? As they say in the, yeah, huh. In the mental health communities, they say, hey, let's unpack that. Okay, let's unpack it. So my unpacking is I put down judgment on people. My mom used to do this a lot. My mom would be like, look at their shit house. They got to cut the grass. Like, very, you know, critiquer. You know, she's a visual person, likes a certain style, likes a certain type of, you know, cleanliness. And I understand that. I've got that too. But I must have picked up on some of that. But in the scheme of things, I think that I judge so that way I can protect myself, you know? I could guard my heart, you know? And, like, I realized that in that process of guarding my heart, I'm also sinning, to be honest with you. Yeah, I mean, like, straight up. There you go, Bob. Right out here in my favorite spot. Coming to terms with things. I sin when I judge others because I'm going against my own, you know, truth. And that truth is that I believe, you know, God is in everyone. God has invested in every single person on the planet, right? And the whole thing's connected. And it's like, you wouldn't be able to understand it if they told you. You wouldn't be able to comprehend it. Do I know it? No. But am I open to it? You better be damn sure I'm open to it. I'm open to the whole thing, the whole kit and caboodle, folks, the universe that beckons, the one that comes for you. Does it make a difference that your job is not good or good or any of it? None of it matters because God has given you all the things. And then when you start to acknowledge these things and you start to say, hey, God, look at my life now. Look how things have changed. You could be thankful. And the only reason you got thanks is because he put his son here on earth as a sacrifice. And when I was a kid, even a young man, dude, I was like, for what? What's the sacrifice? Why did he sacrifice? Maybe you don't know that. And look, I don't know all of it. I'm still learning. But I can tell you, it's like, just like we got like a a country, right? Like right now, we ain't in war. And you know what? Our generations have never known war because we've never seen kids disappear on the streets. The last time a real war, you know, popped through where they had the draft, that's war, man. When the war is so big that you got no choice. You ain't waiting for people to go to the Plymouth Meeting Mall and sign up for the army next to Petoskey's. You know what I mean? You're not. You're just pulling people, and then they die, and then they're dying for, they're making a sacrifice for their country, right? Because who's, somebody said it, you know, I think there's only, and somebody can correct me on this, but I do believe there's only two countries, United States and Great Britain, that were created in order to serve God and country. I could be wrong on that, I'm not sure, but it is interesting to think that, you know, the United States of America has God all over it. You know what I mean? One nation under God. I mean, it's right there at the front. It's also really hard to think about, like, when you start to get into the war thing, because you're like, okay, so you got these wars, right? And all these people are dying. But isn't that like God, like killing God's children? It's like, nah. I used to think that too, you know? Like, simply, like, it's hard to explain, but it's like I do this thing with the analogy of God as an artist because I understand it. You make something, it goes out into the world, you know? And then once it's out into the world, it's like its own thing, man. You know, say for instance, you're somebody who has like some sort of, you know, audience or following, right? You make something, it gets out there. Some people love it, some people hate it. What was in the TV guide back in the day? Cheers and jeers. Thumbs up and thumbs down. You remember that? And I just think sometimes that's how it goes, you know? And like the same goes for like when people are like, well, how could, you know, God and Jesus Christ allow my son, you know, to get cancer at the age of 3 and die? That's hard. That's really hard stuff. And that's where people lose their faith. That's where people can't comprehend it, you know? Like, and I do believe there's a reason for all of it, you know? And it's not mal. It's not like from an evil place. It's not like God being like, yeah, I'm snatching her from you. You can't have her in your life. I do believe that there is this element towards balance. You know, Thanos was, you know, right in some ways, you know. Also, too, like through sacrifice comes great knowledge and wisdom, right? So, Jesus Christ, if he didn't crucify, didn't get crucified and raised from the dead, would we still talk about him? You know, the wild thing is like there's this conception that, you know, our history is like 10,000 to 14,000 years old, and you know, our era of, you know, before Christ is much shorter than we think, because they do, some scientists believe that, you know, there's a every, you know, what is it, 2,000, 3,000 years or something like that, there's always going to be some sort of cataclysmic event in order for the earth to cleanse itself and go back to, you know, the beginning. Which makes total sense, dude, because it's like, don't you do that? What do you do on vacation? You're like, ah, I had to reset, you know what I mean? I had to get myself back together, brah. You know? So the wild thing is like, okay, 10,000 years is like our history, right? Just 2,000 years ago, just two, he's here, right? And as I was mentioning before, imagine, like, you know, I saw Peter walking through this, like, you know, blocking auditorium last night, and I was like, can you imagine, dude, what it was like to actually hear about a man that has these supernatural spiritual abilities? Can you imagine being around someone that straight up goes to, like, what, St. Matthew Cemetery and goes into the mausoleum and raises Lazarus from the dead, and you knew Lazarus? Think about that. Think about your like closest loved one that has passed, or closest friend. You know, it doesn't have to be family either. Imagine seeing that dude be brought back to life. For me, it's Brian Letterman, dude. I couldn't imagine seeing Brian Letterman. You know what I mean? And like, there's a man named Jesus who brought him back. But like, of course, like there's this moment in the book or the play where like my character, you know, is seriously going through some financial troubles, but despite all that, he trusts Christ and goes with him, you know? And, you know, that's some deep shit right there, man. It's deep, you know? Like, I'm not gonna be able to provide for my family. I'm not gonna be able to pay for the mortgage. They're probably gonna evict me. but I believe in you, and I believe that you are the light of the world. Let me come with you. I just would love to have been there, you know? And I think that me saying that is, you know, pretty much reflective for many of you who probably are listening to this podcast. You wish you were there, you know? But I'm thankful today on Good Friday for his sacrifice. I'm thankful for the stories that have been told for the last 2,000 plus years. I'm thankful for the community and the creativity that I found while performing for God at Storehouse Church. I'm thankful for all the pastors that I've interviewed. I'm thankful for my youth pastor, Paul J. Miller. During my adolescent years where I could have been lost to drugs and alcohol, every Wednesday night there was a beacon of hope and light that somehow inside me, I knew that it wasn't time for that. It wasn't time for drugs and alcohol. It wasn't time for malarkey. It was time for the Lord. And I still have the Bible from that place. And I still love the way those pages feel because it's a memory of a, you know, young man and then a teenager learning about a dude named Christ who just loved people, dude, you know, and invested in them and also, you know, spent time with the people who were not seen. And that is something that I love about Jesus Christ, is that he, above all, would tell the dude that everybody hates to come down from the tree. I want to stay at your place tonight. I think Pastor Jen said that he only did that like just a few times. He only specifically said, I'm staying at your joint tonight. You know what I mean? Imagine this man who has risen your best friend from the dead saying, you mind if I stay over tonight? Of course, dude. Like, what would you do? How would you entertain him? Campfire, without a doubt, right? But, wow, I just realized, like, Jesus, was he a musician? Is there any, I don't know if that was ever in any book or anything like that, but that would be interesting, wouldn't it, to know? Like, is that possible? Is it possible that he also could entertain people through his gift of song? You know what I mean? Like, wild. How about Pastor Jen telling me that, you know, she made the pilgrimage out there and, like, you know, she went to, like, where the Sermon on the Mount was, and, like, in all the biblical films, he's always on the top. And I'm like, how could they hear? But it was, like, indeed the reverse. And it was something like an audion where, like, Jesus was at the bottom projecting to the crowd at the top. Dude, we're going up this massive hill. It's called we're going to the Houston Meadow. What have I been saying? Hudson. I've been saying Hudson Meadow forever. It's Houston. Check me at the door. Name's Robert Patrick James Cahill. I make up things with the weds. But yeah, can't imagine. Can't imagine to be there, to see it. Today's the day that, you know, he's about to be, they let Barabbas free right around, it is noon. So apparently, this is what my father told me growing up. And for some reason today, it's very sunny. Good Friday usually was always raining and dark on my, in my youth. So my dad said that around like noontime, you know, they let Barabbas free. And that's when he starts to make the ascent towards Golgotha. I think I'm saying that right. I don't know. Skull Mountain, whatever. And then, you know, takes a while. Falls three times. Gets some assistance. That would be another character I would love to know. Like, what happened then? Forget his name because I'm an idiot. But hey, he helped Jesus carry the cross. Jesus gets up there. They nail him to it. And then it takes a few hours to die from crucifixion. You slowly suffocate. And then he dies. And apparently, you know, the world shifted. The temple was cracked in half. And there's a whole bunch of stuff in there that's just, you know, precious to many people, precious to many people for 2,000 years. And the thing about stories, one, they're hard to tell. But two, retention. Think about it. There's only a handful of movies you could probably say would still be relevant in 100 years. There's probably more than six maybe 12 books that are considered classics from our era. The Bible, too, took a long time to write. 1,500 years, apparently. So many different authors. So today, I give thanks to it all. I give thanks to my Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he made all those years ago so that I can be here podcasting in the woods, praising in his name. Amen. Happy Easter. My name is Robert Patrick, and this has been another episode of The Bobby Cast.